We are in this fellowship blessed at the opportunity to preach even in a home church. This is not something that I've done before, but I am truly honored and blessed with the opportunity to be a part of what our fellowship is. For me, at least, this goes back to early days before I was even married, and God dealt with me then. Would you do anything for me? At that time, I said yes. It took several years from then till now to get to this point. But still, recently, he had challenged me again to say, will you do anything for me? And I gladly was able to say yes, and I'm honored at the opportunity to be a part of what we are. In the world around us right now, we are shortly after the new year. We have people that are riding out the end of their New Year's resolutions. They are nearly over. But the purpose of those resolutions is they do desire change. You know, they tried their exercise plan. They tried their diet plan. They tried their savings plan. They've tried everything that they can think of, because at the end, whether you're saved or not, you truly do want blessing and prosperity. But at the other side of that coin, oftentimes there's something that's tied to it that God wants us to do for the blessing that we want. Even though we know some of those weaknesses, we don't know them all. There are some weaknesses that we do not know, but there are times when others need to help us in our walk to show us these things that are the weaknesses that we're set with, whether it be bitterness or unforgiveness, whether it be pride that's possibly covering another sin. All these things are things that we may not know at the time. And the only thing I'll tell you, that not all of us are perfect. In fact, none of us are. And thank God that God doesn't expect perfection of us. So that's going to bring me to a sermon that I entitled, "That Ready for a Friend of God." And we're going to read together from Acts 9. It's a little bit lengthy, but the context of the scripture helps with the purpose of this sermon. Starting in verse 1. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters for him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether man or woman, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." So he trembled and astonished and said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And the Lord said to him, "Arise, go into the city, and you will be told there what you must do." And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and he, when his eyes were opened, saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, neither ate or drank. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord had a vision. It had said to him in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Here I am, Lord." So the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire of the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying, and in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him so that he might receive his sight." Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And there he has the authority from the chief priest to bind all who call upon your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show you how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you might receive your sight, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. Now, I know that's a little bit of a lengthy scripture, but it illustrates a couple different sides of what I'm going to preach on here tonight. The first side is that Saul himself thought he was doing the right thing. He thought he was defending the name of his God. But in fact, he was committing some of the most heinous sins that we would think of these days. He was murdering and binding those who were lifting up the name of Jesus. They were proclaiming his name. And at the same time, he was on his way that he might continue in that path, when finally Jesus brought to him the come to the light moment, dare we say. That's dad humor for those that didn't catch it. But and with Saul and what he had done, he had been an absolute expert and scholar of every aspect of the law and every aspect of the organization of the temple, and because he was a very well-learned man, and yet he couldn't catch the most simple of things that God was trying to do. So there's times where in the spiritual, they also have parallels to the physical. And one of these physical parallels that we can see today is there's times when people have a condition where they can eat food but yet not absorb it. And they can become extremely sick. It's called malabsorption syndrome. And so even though they could be eating the perfect healthy food, they don't receive its benefit. Sometimes this is from a plaque inside the intestinal wall. Sometimes it's from a parasite. Sometimes another reason. And then there's another place in my thinking when I was thinking about this that me being in the construction field, I thought of all the pipe and plumbing problems that arise. There's times when there's a plaque or a buildup that prevents the pipes from doing what they're supposed to, whether it be for heating or whether it be for a hot water tank, where they no longer are able to accomplish their purpose properly. And these conditions are not able to be fixed on their own. And for us in our hearts and our spirit, Jesus is the true and end physician for this. But the God that I know and I serve, he uses people. Sometimes he might come to you with someone as simple as a young child that speaks a word to you that cuts you to the core. And you're like, whoa, that little person just spoke to me a word from God. And there's other times when it could be a husband to a wife. Yes, wives, that's possible. And for wives to a husband, and yes, husband, that's also possible. So, and other times it could be a man of God, a pastor, or another Christian. And yet there's also still the opportunity, like I was just saying, that in this case where Jesus himself spoke directly to Saul to point out his error, that he then could fix that which was wrong within him. And God chose a most unique way to do this. He blinded his sight of the world. He no longer could see anything of the world. He could only hear what he could hear with his ears, and he could only replay in his mind that voice which the others heard but could not see anything that were around him. And that's why our scripture says that he spent 3 days praying and fasting after this encounter. And I think most of us would too, even though we might not like fasting all that much. But a great distress can bring us to a point where we can have an opportunity that God can heal us. God can make right within us these hardness of our hearts, these things that are not right that we may or may not have known. There's times when we do and there's times that we don't. And in this, that God himself spoke to him, and he also, God himself called Ananias, called the friend of God, as I would term in this script, in this sermon. There are times when God calls people and it calls us to another person. And sometimes the person he's called us to go help may not be the most lovable person. Sometimes they can be kind of prickly even. And yet God has chosen you at that time to help that person, to crack open that door, and God has chosen you to be his ambassador for that time. Pastor Mike said much of this this morning as far as timing, so I won't belabor it, but this could be someone who knows, you know, very well the things that are wrong already, but yet that moment that God uses you to bring it to light can be their salvation moment. Because Paul, even though he had all the ducks in the row religiously, he was not saved. He was not a Christian. He was a Pharisee, whatever else you might want to call him, a scholar. But he was not a Christian. He was not a follower of Christ. Even though that's truly where they try and bring the basis of their authority from, the Old Testament and the law. And when God uses these other people to show us, there's generally, but only one or two different types of people that are on the other end. As I said before, sometimes you have someone that's pretty prickly. Sometimes someone you know really well. It could be your husband, could be your wife. And sometimes it could be someone that's just an absolute, complete stranger. Because in this story, Ananias, he knew who Paul was. And in fact, he even challenged God. He said, "Don't you understand? I don't know any of us here or any of us listening on live stream. If God has ever challenged you to go directly to someone you know is a murderer." I'm not sure if he has or not, but I'm going to bet to wager probably not. But God could. And God, the reason why he sent Ananias wasn't just because this was a challenge for Ananias, but it was because he chose Saul to be his chosen vessel to affect many, many, many people. And God can do these things over and over again. And even in these days where the turmoil and the upset and the unrest and everything that's going on, God can use us to affect those people because he has chosen vessels. And let me not be the person that didn't listen to God to reach one of his chosen vessels. These could be men that are meant to be pastors. These could be women meant to be pastors' wives. These could be pillars of a church. These could be influential people. These could be many, many others. And sometimes, I know this is hard to understand, but sometimes the person that needs to be reached is you. Because we can fall into a situation where we are more like Paul, more like Saul, and less like Paul. And at those times, we can not listen to what God has already dealt with us, sometimes once, sometimes twice, sometimes many times, building up that plaque against the Word of God. Because the truth is, the malabsorption syndrome is most commonly caused by waste from industrially processed foods. So it's things that people ingested themselves that caused these issues. And for some of us, we might not hear what we should or be able to absorb what we should because of things we ourselves had ingested into our lives by our own choices. And for those of us, I hope there is an Ananias for each of us in those situations. I know Jesus himself first approached Saul first, but God still used Ananias to remove the scales when he was ready, to confirm what Jesus had spoken to Saul. He didn't just leave him there guessing. Our God is a God that loves us, and he also loves others too, and he loves us enough to not leave us the same. And the truth is, of many of these Pharisees, the reason why they had such pride and such perfectionism was not because they were holy, but because they wanted to cover their sin. Because it would be too painful to deal with the sin that they, I would argue to say, they likely already knew was there if they simply opened their eyes and hearts to see it. So there's times when we need to remove something from our lives. And it's not always possible to do it by yourself. There's people that have dealt with addiction, whether it be to drugs, to pornography, to some other form of immorality. And most commonly, for men with pornography or any of those type of things, they have someone who they are accountable to. They have help from another. And God has intended us to be this way, to be in relationship with another Christian, to be in relationship with another person that can help one another. It's one of the beauties in incredible things of a marriage is it's husbands are meant to help your wife and wives are meant to help your husband. You're meant to build each other up. And then same thing from one brother to another, iron sharpens iron. And these things should be the commonplace and not the exception. So in this story, the scales that were finally removed from his eyes can be like the scales that we even have in our own hearts. Maybe tonight, maybe this message God is using to help you remove some form of scale in your heart. Because most of us do know when we have that type of issue. It's not uncommon, unfortunately. And the truth is, after the scales were removed from Saul's eyes, he was nourished, and then he went on to accomplish incredible things. So even though we may have failed, God is there ready to forgive. Not only is he ready to forgive, but he eagerly awaits the opportunity to forgive you. He's not sitting there like a miser with a tally count, waiting, oh, too many, done, kill him now. He's not that kind of God. In fact, he's a God that loves us more than we truly can comprehend. So just like the prodigal son, when he returned, the father did not just wait for him at the house. He ran to him and fell on his neck, which would have been an embarrassing thing at that era of society for a man to do. It would have been considered improper to show that type of emotion. So for this is really what it comes down to is Jesus went to the cross for us that we could be forgiven. And as soon as we are ready to admit to the faults that we have, God is also there ready to help us. And God is also there many times with someone ready to help us when we need it. Because I know that not all things can be fixed on your own. Some of those things, as I said, need help from another. Just like the Bible says that some spirits only come out through prayer and fasting. Sometimes this help is someone praying with you. Sometimes this help is someone you can be accountable to. Sometimes this help will come in you stepping foot, walking in what God has told you to do. The first thing God told Saul to do was to get up and go. And he listened. And then he prayed. And he prayed. And he prayed. I don't know about you guys, but I can't remember the last time I did a 3-day fast with nothing to eat or drink. Because I would inherently find that difficult. Not that it's not possible. In fact, it's very possible, as clearly made evident by our story. But he sought after God after that encounter. Then he was confirmed with the truth which he had already been presented when Ananias came to him. And Ananias himself also had to overcome the prejudice that I'm clearly sure was there. Because I don't know how many of you are eager to go meet somebody that says they can kill you if you call the name of Jesus. And in the process of saying hello, you call upon the name of Jesus to heal them. So I'm just saying, it takes a faith in a strong faith in God for Ananias to answer and respond as he did, just as it does for others. But once these things are fixed within us, we are able to receive those spiritual nutrition that we are supposed to be able to absorb. Saul's scales were gone. He could see. He could be profitable. He could be useful again. And not only was it the scales from his eyes, but it was the scales from his heart. And God brought to light all that was necessary there. And God also brought to light for Ananias. And I think this could have been one of those monumental moments in his life, possibly. And just think of times in history when you could have had the opportunity to be the first person to have known some famous person. Could you have been the first person to have witnessed to Billy Graham? Could you have been the first person to have witnessed to Pastor Mitchell? Could you have been the first person to have witnessed to any of our leaders of our fellowship? Or the next? And in this, the other point of note in closing is that Saul, after he was delivered, received the Holy Ghost. He did not have it before. And the Holy Ghost is our helper that's meant to help us accomplish God's purposes. It's not necessarily meant to accelerate you at your job. It's not necessarily meant to be kept in your pocket and hidden. It's meant to give us our boldness and to strengthen our faith. And we are a Holy Ghost believing fellowship, and I'm sure all of you here know that. But if you're lacking the authority that you need to overcome areas of your own life, I would encourage you to first seek being filled with the Holy Ghost, because there's power in it that no person on this earth is going to be able to give you. But yet that's power given to you by Jesus himself that gives you his authority and not your own. That's all I have for tonight, so I'm going to ask that everyone have their head bowed for a few moments here. Each of us, we've had times in our lives when we've known things were wrong and we've been shown things that were wrong. But the truth is, we don't need to remain there. We can walk forward to where God has spoken to us. We can go to that city. We can go to that church where we know we can receive from God again. Once he softened our heart, that's what he did with Saul. He opened his eyes spiritually and softened his heart when he met with him on that road. He had the come to the light moment. And are we ready for a man of God, a friend of God, to help you? There's going to be many in the coming days that are going to be ready for that moment. And for the rest of us, will you be that Ananias for that person? Will you be there? Will you be a part of it? Will you be ready to accomplish God's purposes that he's called you to? And with that, I'd ask if there's anyone in this place that you have had that blockage that prevented you from hearing and feeling and being a part of what God has for you. Whether it be completely unsaved or backslidden. And you know that you have something you need to get right, that God has shown you, and you need a friend of God there to help you. We'll offer that here tonight. How many people in a room this size would there be that would be ready to have your eyes opened again, or even to open them for the first time? And if this be someone that would be watching from a live stream, God is not limited by technology. In fact, he's not limited at all. He can help you even right where you are right now. And if he's touched you and he's spoken to you, take the next step. Move forward to the city. Move forward to where he has already moved on you. And I would suggest to come to this church if you're in this area. I know there's some people that watch from much further away. Just the inherent aspects of the internet, and different people of the fellowship. But then for the rest of us, are you ready to be that Ananias for a friend? Are you ready to be that Ananias for your husband or for your wife? If you see these areas, and I'm not saying that you need to beat him over the head with a book or her over the head with a book trying to get God's point across. Far from it. I would say God chose a way for Ananias to help Saul. And I believe each of us have a way that God has chosen us to help another, to help a friend, to help even a complete sinner, to set them free, that they can be restored. And with that, I'll give an opportunity that if God has spoken to you, that you can come here to the altar and pray. And we're going to sing a song while we give that opportunity. Let us go ahead and sing.
Sacrifice of faith.